everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ray Allen. Ray on the other side of the glass, and he has to be. That's why he's on the other side of the glass. Not that anything is wrong with this fine young man. It's just that's where our control room is located, and he is doing such a great job as usual, producing and engineering the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, August 17th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice. We are AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening. That means if you're at your computer, you can log into my website, buckmastershow.com, or KVOI, the station's fine website, and you hear the program through your computer. We've got our podcasts and pretty much 6.5 years of programs archived that you can listen to on your schedule at buckmastershow.com. Call-in number, easy, 790-2040. If you have any questions during the hour, we would love to hear from you. We invite you also to kind of follow us, if you would like, at Twitter, at Buckmaster Show. And, of course, we're also on Facebook. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health, she's one of 24 contributors to this program that we're very honored to have as part of the Buckmaster Show lineup, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. She's a very busy woman. She's also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, that's spelled M-A-I-Z-E-S, MD.com. Follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How many printings now for the book Be Fruitful? I was just thinking it's been out for a while, and I know it's been very popular.
Thank you. The lovely part is that I sometimes get notes from mostly women who tell me that they've used it and it's helped them to conceive a child and hopefully helped them to conceive a healthy child. So that's been really lovely.
It's still available then, certainly through Amazon?
Correct. Yes, it is.
Let's talk a little bit about diet soda. We've talked about this before. I do not have a diet soda in front of me. In fact, I don't drink diet soda, but I see a lot of people who do. If you go to some of the convenience stores, some of these giant drinks, what are they, 24 ounces sometimes? Huge drinks. And you got to wonder, what in the world is that doing to your system and to your metabolism?
Yeah, so great, great question. You know, diet drinks were really initially developed for people who have diabetes who aren't supposed to have sugared drinks. And so here was this idea of let's create sugar-free, but still things that taste sweet. And there's been very mixed evidence about whether indeed drinking diet drinks helps you lose weight. Which is interesting,
yeah,
because that's why people consume them. And a new study that just was published this week in a journal called Current Biology was just a fascinating study where a researcher from Yale, Dana Small, looked at 5 different beverages that she created. All had the same amount of sweetness using a sweetener, an artificial sweetener, so there were no calories from that. But then she varied the number of calories by adding something called maltodextrin. You may have seen that at some moment on the ingredient list of various foods. It's a carbohydrate. It in itself is not sweet, but it adds calories. And, you know, she predicted that the beverage that had the most calories, which was 150, mm-hmm, would be the one that would create the greatest changes in the brain. She looked at the brain with fMRI to see, you know, how it affected the reward circuits of the brain. But that is not what happened.
What did happen?
Well, what happened was that the 75-calorie drink had the strongest brain response. That was stronger than the one that had 0 calories or 37 calories or 150 calories. Huh. And in a sense, it doesn't, you know, it's not intuitive. It doesn't seem right.
No.
You know, if calories is what makes something that's sweet appealing, the one with the most calories should be most rewarding. But if calories have nothing to do with it, then the 0-calorie one should be most rewarding.
So that's very intriguing that the 75-calorie drink would be this more desirable than the 0-calorie. So what did she conclude caused that?
Well, it took her a really long time, 2 years of doing study after study to figure it out. And what she found was that it was when the degree of sweetness and the number of calories were matched that you got the largest brain response, but also the best metabolic response. So your body preparing to digest that appropriately.
Hmm.
And that's very interesting. It just goes to show how smart our brains are. The brain can detect that there's a mismatch. In other words, something tastes very sweet, but there's no calories, or something has way more calories than the sweetness would alert you to. And when that happened, we don't have an appropriate metabolic response. Our body is essentially confused by that.
Mm-hmm. And so those extra calories are probably being stored in the muscle or liver or in fat, right?
That's what she's hypothesizing, that could indeed be happening. And it's thought that maybe the reasons why sometimes when people eat a lot of processed foods, they get this metabolic dysfunction, it could be because of this idea of a mismatch between what the brain detects and what the body detects in the number of calories.
So what are we to be left with here? Are we to kind of try to match these things, avoid the mismatches?
Well, I think what we're left with is we should eat whole foods, you know, because there the body evolved with those foods, and it knows, for example, if you eat an orange, how much calorie to expect from the degree of sweetness that it's detecting and to prepare to metabolize that. I'm guessing that industry may follow what you just described, which is that they'll create processed foods that maybe align the degree of sweetness with the degree of carbohydrates. But I think the real take-home message is that our brains have this ability to assess and determine, and that when we try to fool the brain, we could end up with a hit to our metabolism.
790-2040, any questions for Dr. Victoria Meza? She'd be happy to take them. I didn't realize until I looked at this article, I thought that the whole artificial sweetener thing was relatively new. If I had had to guess, I'd say a post-World War II development. This goes back, I guess, to like 1900.
Yes, sweeteners have been around, these artificial sweeteners, for a long time, you know, they've been controversial, actually, for a very long time, but we haven't fully understood the science. Another interesting scientific finding has been that artificial sweeteners alter your microbiome. So that's the mixture of bacteria and viruses and fungi that are in your intestinal tract and are responsible for digestion. And some researchers have found that when you drink these diet sodas or eat food with artificial sweeteners, it's in yogurt, for example. You know, a low-calorie mm-hmm. yogurt may have an artificial sweetener. You think you're eating a healthy food, but it may alter the mix of these microbes in your intestines and actually increase your risk of diabetes and of pre-diabetes, what we call metabolic syndrome.
So again, I think this is indicating that if you can, try to eat the real thing. Is that one of the conclusions we can draw from this?
I think that's absolutely a conclusion. And you know, that when the body tastes sweet, it is having a whole set of physiological responses that set a whole cascade of digestive responses, etc., in progress. and we want to be aware of that.
790-2040. Let's see if we can work Greg in before we take our first break on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. Two questions. Did her study come up with any commercially available foods that hit that balance? And the other question is, did she include in her study anything with sugar in it?
Yes, so great questions. To answer the second one first, she was really looking at these artificial sweeteners in her study. And then in terms of commercially available foods, well, you know, fruits and vegetables and whole grains, and there's lots of, you know, meats and poultry. I mean, there's lots of foods that are commercially available that don't have artificial sweeteners in them, and that's what we are hoping to have people avoid.
Yeah, and just to quickly follow up on Greg's question about, I think he was also searching to see if there are products already that kind of have that match that is now built in there, or as we pointed out, or you pointed out, we may see that in the future, Dr. Mazes.
We may. This research was just released, and
okay.
So I don't think that we have yet that sort of list of potential things that would line up. But one point that she does make is that if you were having one of these foods on an empty stomach, like a diet soda on an empty stomach, that may be much less harmful, for example, than having a diet soda when you're eating a food that is rich in carbohydrates, say if you're eating a sandwich or you're eating potato chips or something else, because that may really lead the body to misuse those carbohydrates and store them in inappropriate places.
All right, we'll take our break right here. Dr. Mazes will stick around for a second segment. But first, it's time to hear from the fine lineup of people who support our work here. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhance Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR60305859. EnhanceOpenings.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, United States Representative Raul Grijalva from Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. Friday Roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And we're always on my website, buckmastershow.com. Alrighty then, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Bay Center for Integrative Medicine, is with us on the live line. And before we switch gears, which I want to do, but I do also want to accommodate our listeners with questions, had a Facebook question during the break. Your reaction, please, to natural stevia over artificial sweeteners, Dr. Mazes.
So people do use stevia, which is a sweetener that's in a plant, and that hasn't been studied in this particular way, so we can't say for sure that it's having the same effect. Stevia is much less used in processed foods because not everybody likes the taste of it, so it doesn't mimic the taste of sugar as well. For some people, there's a little bit of an aftertaste. But again, you know, I think one of the lessons from this kind of research is that the brain isn't so easily fooled, and we should be cautious about how many of these non-nutritive sweeteners we use, because it may create some metabolic derangements. You know, it may not be healthy overall for our body to have that sweet message with no calories.
I want to talk a little bit about allergies, food allergies. Can adults develop food allergies, such as allergies to peanuts, or is that something that just begins in childhood and often continues into adulthood?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It turns out there was a study that was recently published by some researchers at the University of Chicago, and they surveyed more than 40,000 adults and found that in adults there was a pretty good percentage, 5% of adults have food allergy, and many of those do develop them, almost half develop them after the age of 18. So in adulthood.
Yeah. So the kids then sometimes outgrow these allergies, and are they typically to certain things?
Well, kids have food allergies commonly as well. About 8% of children have some kind of food allergy. And, you know, allergy is the bad thing to have as opposed to an intolerance. Allergy means that you swell up, you may develop hives, and in the worst cases, you can develop anaphylaxis, and people actually can die from a severe allergic reaction. So, yes, kids can outgrow some allergies. More commonly, they outgrow things like allergies to milk, eggs, wheat, and less commonly to peanuts.
How about intolerances? Let's talk about that and the difference then. You kind of touched on that, the difference to a full-blown allergy.
Yes, yeah, so a lot of people will say, oh, I'm allergic to wheat, but and they may be. They may have a true allergy. That usually means that within 2 hours of eating the food, you are developing those symptoms I mentioned, swelling, hives, itching, trouble breathing, sometimes vomiting, but really severe symptoms. And intolerance is going to be much milder. You're going to have symptoms that are maybe vaguer and not so specific, like bloating or a headache or a skin rash. These are very common reactions when your body doesn't tolerate the food well, but you're not truly allergic.
How do you know, though, if that's kind of a difficult thing to really pin down, the intolerance, isn't it?
That's exactly right. You have to pay attention. You have to be a little bit of a detective around the foods you eat and your reactions to them. And in my clinical practice, what we ask people to do is an elimination diet, where they eliminate the foods that are most commonly intolerated or poorly tolerated very religiously for 3 weeks. See what kind of effect that has on their overall health or well-being, or if there was a specific symptoms like a rash, bloating, constipation, headaches. See if that gets better. Sometimes we have people keep a symptom record. And then we often have people retest. So they reintroduce the food, and then they see if those symptoms come back.
So if someone presents to you in the clinic, they're saying, well, I think every time I eat chicken, I just don't feel right, you would typically say, maybe you should go off it for like 3 weeks. Let's see if that goes away.
So the answer is yes. And chicken is actually one of those foods that people very rarely have a difficulty with. So
okay.
There are some foods like chicken, turkey, lamb, cold water fishes that very rarely actually cause a food intolerance. The common things that cause intolerance are dairy, wheat, eggs, citrus, soy foods. Those are common for people to have an intolerance. So in that elimination period, we have to give people things that they can eat and then the things to avoid. And that's one of the ways we work with people in integrative medicine.
And we hear about something called lactose intolerance.
Right. So lactose is the milk sugar. So milk or dairy has sugars and proteins. Casein is the protein in dairy. Most people in the world, except people of Northern European descent, are lactose deficient in adulthood. That means that as children or as babies, they can digest the milk sugar just fine. But as they move into adulthood, they lose the enzyme and they're no longer able to digest dairy foods. So that person would typically drink a glass of milk and feel gassy, constipated, maybe they'd have the runs, but they'd really notice that they did not feel well. They might do much better with cheese or with yogurt because in those foods, the milk sugar is partially fermented, and so there's much less of the milk sugar in those foods. Or people sometimes buy lactose milk where someone has added that lactase enzyme to pre-digest the milk sugar for them, and again, and that may be much better tolerated.
So when you go to look for a yogurt, are there certain things that that you should look for if you feel you're lactose intolerant?
Well, again, a lot of people who are lactose intolerant may do just fine with yogurt. If you don't, one possibility is you're still reacting to the milk sugar, and you could buy some lactase, which is the enzyme, and take that before you eat the yogurt. You could do an elimination and see if you do much better off of yogurt, because while it's a healthy food, it may not be particularly good for you, or it may have nothing to do with the sugar, and it may be the milk protein, the casein, that you're actually reacting to.
We'll have to pick the discussion up about gluten and the folks that are gluten intolerant. Probably we could do a whole show, but menus, wherever you go now in the country, are showing gluten-free items. Give us a couple of quick thoughts about gluten-free.
Yes, so gluten is in wheat, barley, it's in sometimes in oats, it's in spelt and cow moot. So it's in a lot of different grains. It's in malt, which means it's going to show up in beer. And some people are sensitive to gluten, and that could give all sorts of different reactions. Again, the ones I mentioned earlier, skin rashes, headache, changes in your digestive tract. Some people actually have a true allergy, and they have what's called celiac disease, which is an autoimmune condition. But in these people, when they go off of gluten, the symptoms will resolve, and that's why there's this abundance now of gluten-free products that are available on the market.
All right, Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. What's new at the Center for Integrative Medicine? Anything you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, one of the things we're excited about is we are developing an educational program for health professionals about integrative pain management so that they have more and more strategies to manage pain and not purely rely on opioid medications.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes, thank you very much. Always a pleasure talking with you.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mazes, you can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, MD. Her last name is spelled M-A-I-Z-E-S. She's also active on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. So we're going to take our mid-show break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. All righty, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this August the 17th. We're at about 12:35. Want to do a little promo for tomorrow's show. We've got on our Friday Focus interview the District 3 Congressional Representative here in Arizona. Raul Grijalva will be with me in studio. I'll be joined by Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. So that should be very interesting tomorrow with Congressman Grijalva. I'll tell you, if you're a gardener, what would be very interesting is a visit over to Green Things. You will, I guarantee you, enjoy yourself. It's a 13-acre venue, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, and you should find just about anything you can imagine in the way of plants and gardening supplies over there. They do just a great job, Jen and Jack, the owners. Their location, again, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And they do these free workshops. The best thing to do is to go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. And once you're up at the website, you will see they have all sorts of workshops concerning irrigation, how to build some very interesting plant arrangements. So all that is available at Green Things. Okay, coming up now on 12:36 on the Buckmaster Show, some big news today. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled against the city of Tucson's policy of destroying seized guns. The ruling said the state laws here, and we're talking a couple of laws, involve matters of statewide, not purely local interest, and thus displace the city's inconsistent ordinance, and that is the Tucson Code 2-142 regarding the destruction of firearms. The city of Tucson has destroyed nearly 5,000 guns since 2013. The state attorney general, Mark Brnovich, said the city is in violation of a 2013 law that requires guns to be sold. So this is a big story happening for the city of Tucson, and we are ready, I believe, with Councilman Paul Cunningham, Democrat representing the city's second ward. Councilman, how are you today?
Sorry for the delay.
No, it worked out. It worked out perfectly. I was able to share a story that was on, actually, I think from the KVOA website about the news today. Tucson loses the gun destruction case before the Arizona Supreme Court. Okay, your reaction, and can this then go to a different court, Ninth Circuit, and then maybe to the Supreme Court? What are your thoughts?
It could. Really not sure I want to go down that rabbit hole. And I know that some of my friends who love it, fundamentally, I probably disagree with this decision. I mean, and if we want to get into a gun debate, I don't really want to get into a gun debate. I'm of the belief that the less guns you have circulating, whatever. Other people will totally disagree with that, and I respect that. And I want to try to keep this conversation civil. The main part is, the real question is should we go and try to take this to federal court and beyond? And you know, I have some misgivings about that. One, I don't know if we go all the way to the federal Supreme Court. I don't know if they'll support us. Two, the person who issued the ruling was a Napolitano appointee. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like this was some right-wing, left-wing. I mean, politics is dilapidated. All we do is sling poo at each other. It's one of those things. I just don't want to go. I don't know if we want to go down that. But the bottom line is the responsible thing to do at this point for me is, you know, I can say I disagree with it. Those are my. I mean, I have my reasons. But the bottom line is that the prudent thing to do is accept the decision of the state Supreme Court as they interpret it, and somewhat move on. I think going and using a lot of resources to hire outside counsel to go to federal court and then maybe onto the Supreme Court may not be the best decision for us right now. Even if that, if there is a silver lining here, the only silver lining I can think of is that maybe we'll have a revenue stream with the selling of these guns. I mean, we have to sell the guns. That's what
right.
we have to do. So right. I'm not. I'd be curious to see how many recirculated guns are involved in a crime. I'd be interested to see that. I'd be interested to see in what happens if you've got a licensed gun dealer and how many guns are tied to. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff we can go down. But the bottom line is now, just off the top of my head, and this decision's about 2 hours old. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure I want to go to federal court right now. I don't know if we'd have to hire outside counsel and how much it would cost. And so those are the things that concern me. So we'll analyze it. I'll probably collaborate with our colleagues. That's kind of it with that. But that's,
okay.
Those are my initial thoughts.
Okay, I've certainly got a lot of other items to discuss with you, including, well, first of all, let me ask you, how is school going for you? I didn't get a chance to ask you right at the top of the interview.
Well, school just started, and as some of your listeners know, I'm a social studies teacher, and we're working, the first month is great. You work on the American Revolution. You work on the Constitution. Right to today, my kids are learning about Thomas Jefferson, and their assignment today was actually to compare and contrast Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech with Thomas Paine's Common Sense Pamphlet and take a look at how both people argued to declare independence from the colonies and argued against the taxes that the Parliament was charging, but they had kind of different messages, and they were probably on opposite sides of the aisle or would be today. So I think that's an interesting discussion. And, so that's what we did today. And I've got to tell you, it's been an enjoyable experience to become a social studies teacher. And I'd love for people who are, anybody who wants to take a year or two off or do a second career after if they've been fortunate enough to retire early and spend a year in a classroom, I think they'd be great. It'd be the toughest job they'll ever love.
What grade is it? Where are you?
I'm in eighth grade. I teach eighth grade in the Sunnyside School District.
Okay. Well, just one more school question. Events like the horrible day we saw last Saturday, does that spill over into the classroom, especially since you have eighth graders in social
they're
studies?
They're curious. I mean, yeah. They're very curious, and it's very sometimes you're muzzled a little bit. You want to be very careful. You don't want to politicize the classroom.
Right.
It's one of the things that causes, in my opinion, that's one of the reasons that's one of the things that's hurt public education. Is that classrooms become politicized, but you also want to encourage free thought. You want to encourage kids to kind of understand things, and our discussion about Saturday, which we had on Tuesday, was really the height of that discussion for my classroom. A lot of it foreshadows. So we do World War II second semester.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of this foreshadows. Well, what's linked to my curriculum. Foreshadow second semester. So I a lot of our discussion was kind of talking about second semester and talking about what they knew about the Civil War. And so it was interesting. A couple kids didn't really know that there were statues of Robert E. Lee.
Really?
They were. Really? They had no idea that he had been considered such a great guy and he'd been a Mexican war hero. And, it was the way we kind of framed that part of the discussion was we talked about Columbus because Columbus has this history where, he's the only one to kind of go across at the time in that part of the world to to be vigilant in his beliefs, and he sails across the ocean blue, and he gets to San Salvador, and he does do that. But then after, he's somewhat directly, indirectly responsible, probably directly responsible in some cases, for the extinction of an entire tribe of people
with the introduction of European disease. Yes.
Well, and others. I mean, he wasn't a good guy. He kind of, right. But that's okay. He still was. So you have to decide whether or not he can be honored or not. So the Columbus debate is kind of the same as the Robert E. Lee debate. We didn't really go into it that much because, again, it's not part of the curriculum right now. But there's a lot of, it is nice to see eighth graders being engaged in social studies type discussions. And wanting to take part in having that type of debate, though, that's good. That's what emboldens, and it definitely enriches young minds.
And who knows? I think it's great to be talking about. And who knows? Right here in Tucson, the statue, the Pancho Villa statue. Kids are probably gonna and do all the time with their parents ask what that's all about, but that's for another discussion, I guess.
Well, I mean, we sure as heck wouldn't have one in Columbus, New Mexico. I mean, Villa invaded Columbus, New Mexico. Yeah. So yeah, it's a very interesting debate. But I think it's good. I think it's healthy, and I think it's really healthy when kids are engaged. I don't have any more than that. I mean, you just want to get them engaged.
All right, we're going to take our break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about kind of the hot issue right now with the council, and that's the city golf courses. We'll continue with Councilman Mr. Paul Cunningham right after this.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive east of Tucson, it's a very historic place, and it's known for its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City hosts a variety of very nice galleries, gift stores, historic buildings. They've got some great restaurants that have been written up in the New York Times. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's a great starting place for where to stay and what to do. Many opportunities for you. Let's go back now on the live line. Ward 2, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham is with us. The city has, let's see, 5 golf courses. We know fewer people, Paul Cunningham, are playing golf, but the city, is 5 too many, do you think?
Well, yeah, probably. I mean, it's possible. It stems on about 15 different details, and I'm happy to explain. First of all, we have 5 courses, but we have 4 sites. Randolph Golf Complex has 2 courses. So, and it uses a lot more water, but it also has a retention basin where we get water credits. So the cost per acre foot of water that it uses as a golf course is substantially lower than the other courses. The same is the case for Silverbell. Silverbell receives direct tertiary effluent from the county, actually, and pays like 12% of the water costs of the other two courses, El Rio and Fred Ank. Finally, then you have El Rio and Fred Ank, who, Fred Ank had a history of making money for about 25 years, the first 25 years it was in existence, and only in the last few years has it required some capital improvements to get it back to par. El Rio has never made money, but in El Rio's defense, it doesn't get the good water deal. It only has 18 holes, and it is the host of our first tee program, and play has increased substantially over the last 5 years. So it's all this like hodgepodge of factors. My feeling is this. If we can move the tertiary infrastructure from Silverbell to El Rio and close Silverbell and use that as a city asset, then we'll probably have a much healthier golf operations program where we're not subsidizing it too much for the general fund. A couple things, though. First of all, golf is still a pretty popular sport in the United States. It is the only recreation amenity that we require payment for. We pay money for softball fields. Taxpayers pay money for baseball fields. Taxpayers pay money for soccer goals, football goal, all that stuff. All those leagues and all those youth programs use that. We have a youth program at our golf courses where youth players play for free. high school teams do their practices there. High school teams do their tournaments there. We have to acknowledge all that as part of the whole public service. So, and we're not doing that either. So it's kind of a holistic approach. But, yeah, we probably need to right size. But if we could be a little more formulaic about how we calculated the public benefit, I bet dollars to donuts that the golf enterprise is healthy and it pays for itself from a cash basis. But, you know, it is tough. We do have to put a little money aside every year to make those capital improvements every few years. And that's really what we're not able to do right now.
Isn't it a Scottsdale company that manages our golf courses?
Yes.
And how are they doing?
They've done a really good job improving and enhancing the golf experience for the people who use the courses in Tucson. I think it was good that we went to the private management model. It allows OB, who manages some courses right outside the city, to kind of partner up. I mean, it actually gives us, in a very weird way, a little more control of some of the other golf courses. So that are not in the city limits, that are not municipal courses, and helps them kind of work in conjunction with each other. And so I kind of like the model that we're at. I think OB's done a good job. I think the conditions of the courses are better. I'm the only golfer on the council, so I look at it all the way around. You know, there are some things, granted, that golf has changed, and that is that people don't want to spend 6 hours on the course today. They want to play nine and get out of there. And then, you know, the emergence of executive courses and shorter rounds and things of that nature have definitely come up. I think golf also lost a lot of its luster, and that we haven't had a great American champion in a long time. And so, you know, and that's worldwide, and that's nationwide. You know, recession and the lack of a great American champion, it's kind of like a double whammy on golf. Also, I'd say that the sports dollar has kind of, you know, only can stretch so far. And so I think some of that has been taken over with the emergence of soccer. So I think there's a whole bunch of moving parts to it. But to start, you know, I'd say the best solution is to take a look at moving that tertiary infrastructure over to El Rio from Silver Bell, and seeing what other opportunities exist for Silver Bell next to and for that matter the Silver Bell Park as well.
While we're talking about sports, do you think we've got a shot at getting the Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers?
So, you know, I made my calls. I'm working on that. The tough thing goes into, there's some clauses in the Players Association contract that really preclude Tucson, and it isn't anything that we can't really do a lot about that part. But we can definitely try to put our best foot forward and say, hey, give us this shot. I mean, if you want as bluntly as I can put it,
yes,
if we want to get three teams back,
yes,
we need to build another facility. And if we're going to build another facility, that means we're going to have to spend some ungodly amount of money, like $200 million of taxpayer money on a private asset that is good for two things. And I just don't know if the voters would ever go for anything like that. So that's the challenge. But and for our model to work, we have to have at least two teams here. Now, if we could partner it where, say, Green Valley got a team and we got a team and Oro Valley got a team, we may have something.
Mm-hmm.
And if Moran and Oro Valley wanted to team up and build something out there, and then the county got their deal, and then Sarita and Green Valley would want to do something down there, then we may have something, or even two teams in Oro Valley, whatever it is. But you know, it's an incredible amount of money. And remember that when the TIF got it passed, we weren't the only city with a quote-unquote Rio Nuevo. Other cities got stadium districts,
right?
And they built stadium. I mean, every Peoria, who am I going? Peoria, Scottsdale, Glendale, Gilbert. Well, Gilbert didn't build theirs. Gilbert, I think the reason that the Brewers are leaving is because Gilbert's one didn't even pass. So, you know, that's the other thing. And the other thing is that, you know, some of these things that these guys want is amazing. The Major League Baseball player, Major League Baseball basically comes into a small town like Tucson and says,
hey, look, you know, unless you're basically going to let us come here for free because of what we bring tourism-wise,
yeah,
and you're going to pay for the facility for us to practice and train, you know, we're not coming.
Yeah, I agree.
There's another city down the line that will. So it's a tough deal, but I will absolutely do everything I can within reason to ensure that the Brewers participate in spring training in Tucson.
All right, you've got to get back to class, and we've got to wrap it up. Thank you for the chat.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Always a pleasure. Paul Cunningham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Mike and Ray Allen, they'll team up together for their 1 hour this afternoon. It's an interesting show yesterday, listening to it. The guest was John Winchester. I enjoyed listening to the program. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, and then again, our Friday Focus interview. Try to bring in a newsmaker every Friday, and I think we have one tomorrow. Raul Grijalva will be with me, and Tim Steller, the star, here in studio in about 24 hours. But until then, Ray Allen and Bill Buckmaster wishing you great afternoon and evening.